Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, and I'm glad you could join us again today. I hope you're ready for a jam-packed podcast. Oh, my, we got so many things to talk about, I just don't know if we're going to get it all in. I mean, what is it? We went for weeks with, like, nothing to talk about, and now all of a sudden we got all kinds of things going on. And a lot of it's because you guys out there are sending me email, and I appreciate it. That's great. Boy, do I appreciate it. You just don't know how much I appreciate it. Matter of fact, if you want to send me an email, why don't you write this down, get you a piece of paper. Okay, I'll wait. Okay, you got your paper? Good. All right, you get a crayon. Okay, you don't have a crayon? Okay, you can use a pencil or ink pen if you don't have a crayon. But anyway, write this down, Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at, that's the little sign, you know, there above the number 2 on the keyboard, the at sign, at the, T-H-E, computer, C-O-M-P-U-T-E-R, curmudgeon, C-U-R-M-U-D-G-E-O-N, .com. Yes. Write that down and send me an email like some of these great folks did this week. And boy, we'll get into that. Oh, good stuff. In just a little bit. First of all, can you tell I'm excited? I'm just a little excited. You know why I'm excited? Because yesterday, drum roll please, yesterday was System Administrator Day. It's International System Administrator Day. The last Friday of the month of July is always System Administrator Day. And you say, huh? What's that, Dr. Bill? Well, the lowly, humble, okay, well, maybe not so humble, system administrators of the world are normally ignored. But there's one day out of the year that we have our very own day. And I told, matter of fact, at work yesterday, I told the manager of our applications group. Now, in order to understand the importance of this, there's typically some, disagreement between an applications person and a system person. I don't know what it is. It's a cultural thing. I don't know. So I told the manager of the applications group, hey, it's System Administrator Day. And he said, oh, great. I told you I appreciated you last week, didn't I? Yeah, he actually did. I appreciated that. He said, so there you go. It was just early. I said, okay. Something about system administrators, we just don't get any credit. Well, we do occasionally. But particularly on System Administrator Day, it's all worthwhile because we get a cookie or something. Sometimes, maybe, if we beg. Okay. So anyway, in honor of System Administrator Day, I want to play a song for you by Wes Borg of Three Dead Trolls. Now, you remember Three Dead Trolls. They're the ones that did the Every OS Sucks song that we played on some podcast back in the ages of antiquity on the podcast. I don't remember. Matter of fact, I barely remember what day it is today. I will check my clock here on the computer. Yes, indeed. July 29th. That's the day that I'm recording this right now. As I sit here, it is July 29th at almost exactly 9 o'clock in the morning as I record this podcast. And this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, podcast number... where's that drum roll? Why don't I ever get a drum roll? You know, I always ask for a drum roll, and I don't get a drum roll. Let me do the drum roll. Ouch, that hurt. Popped my finger when I did that. Anyway, do you remember what I was talking about? Oh, yes, the podcast. It is podcast number 47. Wow, we're getting on up toward number 52, and you know what number 52 is going to be. That's going to be the one-year mark of doing podcasts. So keep in mind that's coming, and you'll probably hear me get even more excited. But anyway, podcast number 47 today for July 29th. So, whew, man, that's out of the way. Glad we got that done. Okay, System Administrator Day. You can actually go to the website sysadminday.com and read all about how exciting it is to celebrate your system administrator. And that was yesterday, by the way. Now, I was talking about Three Dead Trolls. Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie are a group of comedians out of Canada that have a website called deadtroll.com. Why? I don't know. But they have a really cool song in honor of System Administrator Day, and we're going to play that song.
I used to work at a help desk before I discovered my calling in comedy. My name is Wes. I'm from way up there in Canada, and I run a website called deadtroll.com, which is there really for all of your office comedy needs. We don't have any swearing on it because then people would get fired and that would be bad for business. So check it out if you get a chance. This is a song I wrote about some very special people who make sure that your computer works. They're called system administrators, and they're very important. There's a guy who works in another room or on another floor. He's the one you call when your document ain't there no more. He's probably a boy, but he might be a girl or something in between. He's the only one in the office who knows what PC load letter means. He's your system administrator. He's probably into comic books. And you tremble in fear when you have to hear one of his "what a dummy" looks. Got a virus, lost your password, or you just can't print. In an hour, he'll show up and crouch and squint. Fight to save your files. He might be there all day, but sometimes he just presses caps lock and walks away. But hey, suddenly my password works. Wow! Hooray! Hooray, hooray, oh happy day. I'm gonna buy my guy a gift to say. Having you around means I get to stay stupid and uninformed. And I can keep opening .exe file attachments and forgetting my mother's maiden name, cause you'll fix it all for me, yay! I'll give you a cake, I'll give you a hug, I'll buy the world's best system administrator mug. Just help me out, system administrator. Please plug in my mouse, system administrator. I don't know which button is the mouse click button, system administrator. Piss him off and you'll be fired by tomorrow morn. Cause he's the guy who knows that you've been surfing porn. So make sure you stay nice to your system administrator.
Yes, the system administrator. You need to celebrate him. You need to thank him. Pat him on his little fuzzy head and give him a cookie. I like the cookie. So anyway, system administrators of the world, rejoice. We had our day yesterday, and it was a good day. I actually had cake and ice cream at work. I did. It wasn't because of system administrator day, of course. They were just celebrating people's birthdays. But I sat there and ate my cake and ice cream and said, this is because of system administrator day. Yes, indeed. Even though nobody else knew that it was system administrator day. But anyway, that's just so cool that we get our own day. It really is. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Anyway, so let's get back to what we talked about on the blog this past week, shall we? Oh, by the way, don't let me forget to talk about the emails, okay? Just stop me at any point and say, Dr. Bill, hey, don't go without talking about the emails. Okay, thank you. All right, here we go. We're talking about some of the things on the blog this week. AMD is acquiring ATI. You go, huh? Okay, there's Intel, you know, that makes CPU chips, and then there's AMD that makes CPU chips. And AMD is Advanced Micro Devices, and they make CPU chips, and they're actually pretty cool ones. As a matter of fact, the CPU in the machine that I'm using right now to record the podcast is an AMD chip. Dude, it's a Turion 64, as a matter of fact. Cool, 64-bit. Rock on. Anyway, they are acquiring ATI, the people that make video cards. Now, you've got NVIDIA, and you've got ATI, and you've got Matrox, and a couple others that are kind of real small and don't really matter that much. But you got basically NVIDIA and ATI. And so what AMD did is they're buying up ATI so that they can better integrate their technologies, you know, whatever, how that works. So, cool, though, that that's happening. And it's going to be a $5.4 billion deal. That's with a B, billion. Whew, man. Zowie. Anyway, next item. I got, hey, not only have I been getting email from you folks that are listening to the podcast, I'm getting email from government representatives. I mean, we're talking Congress critters are sending me email personally. Wow. Cool. And actually, you know, I got it because I sent them an email first. So, you know, they're just kind of responding to it. But what was cool was this actually, okay, so I know that this is actually like an email that some staff guy did that's kind of a standard email that they send out to anybody that sent out an email about net neutrality. I understand that, but it's still kind of a cool email, okay? And it was exciting to me, so cut me some slack. Okay, anyway, here we go. I got back a response, and here is the response. Dear Mr. Bailey, thank you for contacting me about net neutrality. I appreciate hearing from you. Isn't that cool? That he appreciates hearing from me? I like that. Anyway, recent changes in federal regulation and court decisions have altered the legal protections against discrimination and access to the Internet. As a result, some Internet service providers now see the potential to profit by providing favored treatment to some Internet content providers, the same way retailers charge manufacturers for prominent product displays in their stores. Ooh, that sounds bad. Okay, such discrimination among Internet content providers would forever change the open, vibrant competition based now on the appeal of Internet content and would deny consumers the right to choose Internet content freely. I like this guy already. He's already talking my language. He's already talking about net neutrality in good terms. Let's keep reading. The House considered the Communications Opportunity Promotion and Enforcement, COPE Act, on June 8th of 2006. Not that long ago, two amendments specifically presented the issue of net neutrality. One clarified that antitrust laws apply to Internet service providers, which would provide modest protection against discrimination among Internet content providers. Remember, I talked about how Google was talking about suing under antitrust because of net neutrality not passing through the Congress and, you know, being referred to the Senate and so forth. Anyway, you remember that. I voted for that amendment, which passed by a vote of 353-68. Brad Miller, member of Congress, voted to help protect our net neutrality of the Internet. Hooray. Like this guy. All right. Let's see. Congressman Ed Markey offered a more ambitious amendment that would have specifically required net neutrality by Internet service providers, reinstating the previous regulatory protection to content providers and consumers. I voted for that amendment also. Good for you, Brad. But the amendment failed by a vote of 152-269. Finally, I voted against the COPE Act for a variety of reasons, but prominent among those reasons was the failure to provide provisions to protect net neutrality. The bill passed the House by a vote of 321-101. It appears very unlikely that the Senate will accept the legislation passed by the House, so the issue will likely come before the House again, in which case I will certainly keep your views in mind. Please contact me about other issues important to you. Thank you sincerely, Brad Miller, Member of Congress. Salute to Brad Miller, Member of Congress. Not only did he vote correctly on net neutrality, but he also sent me an email, and that makes me very happy. I'm really kind of really happy about that. But anyway, so, see, when you send emails saying what you think about things governmentally, then they have staff members send you a form letter back in the email, and that makes you feel good. Yes. Okay. Moving on. Next item, Geek Software of the Week. You know I love sharing Geek Software of the Weeks with you, don't you? And usually they're really cool little utilities that you can run in Windows that will make your life easier, and they're free, and they're open source, and life is good. This time, though, Geek Software of the Week will be just a little bit different because this is a whole operating system to get you off of the evil empire's evil operating system. We have a free operating system for you. 100% free, 100% open source. Well, okay, mostly 100% open source. A little bit of proprietary, but that's just a tiny little bit. Just a little in there. Still free. Still free, so it's still cool. All right, here we go. Geek Software of the Week is FreeSpire Linux. There's this little frog came up in my throat. I don't know why he does that. Anyway, FreeSpire Linux, you see, is the free version of Linspire Linux. And the reason I say it's not totally open source is there are some proprietary drivers and things in there. Now, here's the thing. If you are trying to get an operating system set up on a computer for a user that, shall we say, is not quite technically, as savvy as other users, then you see FreeSpire Linux is the way to go for you. Because A, it is free. B, it has things in it that, for instance, allow you to play Windows Media Player files. That's pretty cool. But in order to play the Windows Media Player files, you have to use a codec from Microsoft that is technically proprietary. So that's where some of the open source folks that are really, truly open source, bow to the east, you know, absolutely has to be open source, nothing else at all. They don't like FreeSpire and Linspire for that reason, because there's still proprietary drivers and things in it. But those proprietary drivers that are in there allow them to have components that will run things that people on the net still want to see, like Windows Media files and things of that nature. It already comes loaded with the drivers, with the codecs, everything that's necessary to do things like play Flash on the web, you know, Windows Media Player files, all those things are already in there, they're already configured, they're already ready to roll, and it makes it probably the most Windows-friendly or Windows user-friendly version of Linux that you'll find. So I just encourage you to check it out. Go to freespire.org, that's FreeSpire, FreeSpire.org, and download the FreeSpire pre-release. It's still not fully released yet. It's going to be released in August, so we're just days away from the full version 1 release of FreeSpire. But I downloaded yesterday. I downloaded the, it was System Administrator Day, so I took the opportunity to download FreeSpire Linux, the latest version, and I installed it on a PC, and it rocked. Oh, yes, it rocked. So, Geek Software of the Week this week is FreeSpire Linux. Now, I've been a Linspire insider since 2001-2002 time frame, and I really, really appreciate what those folks are doing. They get a lot of flack from a lot of open source folks, and I are one, but I tell you, I really like Linspire and FreeSpire. So check it out. There's finally a free version for you. All right. Next item is a strange and weird little item that I put up this week just because. Okay, just because I wanted to. And that is, hey, it's my blog. And that is a mirror of Google. Now, in computer network terms, when we say a mirror, it usually means a site that mirrors the content of another site, so that if one site goes down, it'll pick up and you'll have a mirror. Or that you're going to download a file and you can go to various mirrors of sites that have that particular file. Well, in this case, it is a mirror of Google because it's backwards. So like Elgoog, Google, you know, backwards. So check it out. Click on the link, look at it, read the Wikipedia article about Elgoog, and wonder, as I did, why? But anyway, it's just a weird site. Check it out. Next item. I know we're hurrying, we're rushing, because I've got to get to all this stuff. There's so much stuff to talk about. Okay, this is one that I've been wanting to do for a while, and I finally sat down this week and did, because there are a lot of lists I've noticed on the internet of people who are putting up their favorite shareware, software, freeware, whatever. But, you know, I just decided, why don't we put together a list of stuff everybody ought to have on their PC? Things that will protect you. Remember the System Administrator song we just played, where they click on the XE attachments and they're just doing crazy, stupid things and messing their computer up? What you want to do for people is you want to make it harder for them to be stupid, okay? They're going to be stupid, and they're going to mess their computer up, yes, because they're users, but make it as hard as possible for them to be stupid. Now, how do you do that? You use software that impedes the progress of stupidity, that contains the stupidity as long as possible until they just can't stand it and they have to go out and do something really, really dumb, like click on an attachment. So, what you want to do is you want to run software that will keep them as safe as possible for as long as possible, because that will keep them from coming back and bugging you and saying, please fix my computer again, like you did last week. Okay? You know, you want it to be at least every 6 months. Okay? You know, not every week. Every 6 months, yeah, okay, we can get by with that. So, this is software that I recommend that everyone run so that they're safer on the internet. Okay, you ready? Here we go. Here's our list. You gotta have an antivirus, just the way it is. However, Norton and McAfee, or however you want to pronounce it, they're sorry. I'm sorry. Not only are they sorry, but most virus writers assume that you're going to have one or the other on your computer, so they're actually writing viruses that are designed to thwart or turn off those antivirus programs. So you want to use some obscure antivirus that's still really, really good. Really good. Now, that antivirus happens to be Grisoft's AVG free, yes, you heard me right, free antivirus. So there's absolutely no excuse. You have a free version that you can run. It's not going to bug you. It's not going to irritate you. It's just going to sit there and protect your computer. Download Grisoft's AVG. Now, at the same time, I had a news item last week that Grisoft had bought Edwido anti-spyware. So it's also totally free and available from Grisoft. So get Edwido, or Ewido, E-W-I-D-O, however you pronounce it. Hey, we'll just go with the flow. Ewido, whatever. And download that. That will get rid of adware for you, and it will update itself automatically, and it will protect you from adware, spyware, things of that nature. Really cool stuff. Next one, Spyware Blaster, Spyware Blocker. It will sit there and block the spyware so that you won't get spyware. Download that. Keep the updates updated frequently. The anti-spyware signatures, keep that updated. Next one, CCleaner. CCleaner, that's two C's at the front. CCleaner, System Registry Cleaner. Check that out. It's at CCleaner.com. Excellent piece of software. Just remember, when you install it, there's a little item at the very bottom, at the last screen, right before you click the OK button, that you need to uncheck so it won't install the Yahoo toolbar. Toolbars are evil, so don't install that. However, the actual CCleaner program is awesome. It will clean up your registry. It'll get rid of registry pointers that are invalid. It will allow you to clean up your system, get rid of files that you don't need out there, that maybe, you know, tracker cookie files and so forth. It's really cool stuff. Run it often. I run it nearly every time I get on my computer. I run CCleaner. It just is an awesome program. All right, next thing, Firefox. Yes, indeed. Firefox web browser. It is awesome. We'll talk in a few minutes about how awesome it is when I get to that item, but you really need to download it. You need to use it, and never, ever, ever again in the rest of your life ever use Internet Explorer. Yes. All right, next one, Mozilla Thunderbird email client. Now, some people use web-based email, you know, Hotmail, Yahoo Mail, whatever. Obviously, you're not using a local email client, but if you want to use a local email client on your PC, like Outlook Express, any of those variants of Microsoft's evil, sorry software, you need to get rid of those and use Thunderbird. Thunderbird is clean, it's fast, it's neat, it has spy blocking built into it, spam blocking, I was on the spyware earlier, it's spam blocking built into it, and it's free, and it's awesome, and it will keep you from doing dumb things. Now, if you click on an attachment, it's still going to be dumb, and you're still going to get your PC nuked, and of course you deserved it, so there you go, if you click on an attachment. But still, for the most part, it will keep you safe on the internet. All right, next one quickly, Notepad Plus, Notepad replacement. Notepad as an editor has gotten a little bit better with each version of Windows being released. They finally got, for instance, where you can do replace and they didn't used to be able to do that, so, you know, it's better, but it still isn't as cool as Notepad++. Notepad++ is a open source project, which of course makes it cool right off the bat. But not only that, it has the built-in search and replace, it has macro capability, it has advanced replace, it has the ability to highlight code like HTML code correctly, all kinds of awesome things that it does, totally free. Download Notepad++ and use it. It's at notepad-plus.sourceforge.net. You need to get it. All right, next one. Juice Podcast Receiver at juicereceiver.sourceforge.net, another open source project. And you say, but not everybody needs a podcast receiver. Of course they do, because they need to listen to Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, and they need to do it by subscribing, and they need to use Juice to do it because it's free and it's a cool piece of software. Dude. All right, next one, openoffice.org Office Suite. Now, some of you may have an illegal copy of Word, Excel, PowerPoint. Shame on you. Also, it's Microsoft. Double shame on you. So remove those. Add remove programs. Get rid of them and use openoffice.org Office Suite. 100% free. You will have good, you know, personal, what shall I say? Some would say karma. You will have good personal blessings bestowed upon you because you're not using illegal software. You're using open source free software. And that is a good thing, my son. All right. Next thing, Archiver Unarchiver. A lot of people have downloaded WinZip and have used the trial version for years. Check out your system. You may have a copy of WinZip on it. Have you paid for it? It's not free software, you know. You have to pay for it. I have a legal copy of WinZip myself. Totally paid for. Totally, dude. And you only pay for it once because it's a lifetime thing. So why did you pay for it? Anyway, point being is, if you don't want to go that route, and even though I have a paid for version of WinZip, I still use IZARC. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but it is cool because it not only does the zip format, it does every other format that I've ever heard of. A long, 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 long list. It's awesome. And it's free, of course. Open source, really rocks. You need to download it and use it. So, that's my list. Now, you might say, but Dr. Bill, what about InView for editing HTML files? Well, not everybody edits HTML files. If you do, you should be using InView. Yes, I agree. 100%. Yeah, But that's not in my list of everyone. Everyone needs on their computer. If you need an HTML editor, by all means, go to InView.com, and download that. It will be a good move for you. Okay? Next item. Spam is out of control. Now, when I read this, I just about couldn't believe it. Check this out. Only about 4% of email is actually real email. What? Only about 4%? Single digit 4 is real email. The rest of it is spam. Now, that's horrible, folks. That shouldn't be. And why does it get spread around? Because you people keep still doing stupid things. You still click on attachments. You still click on links that say click here if you want to be removed from the email list. You get a piece of spam and you go, oh, I hate this, and you click on that link, and that lets them know you're there. That's not good. That keeps propagating spam. Well, it's going to get to the point that the spam is going to crowd out all the real email. There won't even really be any real email anymore. That's just going to be a shame. So, please, don't click on attachments. Oh, my goodness. It's already the end of the podcast. And I'm just, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to take the time anyway. So, if you want to shut it off right now, that's your prerogative, but I'm going to keep going because there's just too much. I've got to get it all in. Okay, here we go. eBay and PayPal are still the top targets for phishing. Phishing is, of course, tricking you, the uninformed user, the unwary net surfer, into clicking on a link that looks like it's coming from a legitimate site like eBay or PayPal that you might be a member of, but really it's there to steal your username and password. This is not good. So you need to pay attention and not, look, eBay or PayPal is not going to send you an email saying, your account's messed up, you need to click here to fix it. They're not going to do that. They said they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. If you get one, you can look at it and go, this must be one of them phishing scams. And you can delete it. Okay, Sysadmin Day. We've already talked about the fact of Sysadmin Day. I'm going to skip right over that one and go to the next one. Two Firefox extensions for HTML coders. I did this late last night, 11-something last night. I blogged this because it's so awesome. Two extensions you can add into Firefox. One that will resize your Firefox browser window to, you know, like 1024 by 768 or whatever. Whatever resolution you're trying to get your website to look good at, you know, and to map to, you have that, and you can, it's called Yet Another Window Resizer. Check it out. It's really cool. Next one is the ability to edit HTML code right directly in Firefox for a quick HTML edit. Really nice, kind of Dreamweaver-like. Check it out. It's called Kodich. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Kind of spelled funny, but it's still pretty cool. Really, really awesome. Check it out. If you're an HTML coder, you really ought to check into it. So, we got through all of that. Last thing we got to get through are the emails. Thank you for reminding me. Hey, I saw that guy out there going, hey, Dr. Bill, don't forget the emails. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I got emails this week. Several emails from people who really kind of must have somehow my revelation that I had when I woke up one morning and realized that if you set your out of office message that you're rewarding spammers. When I said that, something must have just really clicked with people. They must have just said, wow, Dr. Bill, boy, have I got some things for you. So they sent me an email, and I appreciate that. For instance, here's a user, and I'm not going to give full names. Hey, you know, to keep your anonymity, I'm going to just use first names. This is a guy named Joe. He wrote and he said, hey there, Dr. Bill, I look forward to your show and think you made a particularly good point about the use of autoresponders for email and the problems therein. I have a somewhat geeky solution that will allow you to keep the convenience of the autoresponse feature without helping the enemy. Use the rules. I like this guy. I really do. I like this guy. All right. As I'm sure you know, and some of your readers may not, most email programs allow you to apply rules to incoming email. The email program uses these rules when handling your messages. For example, I subscribe to several work-related mailing lists. Instead of having a whole mishmash of email at the beginning of each day, I have a rule to place those that instructs my email program to automatically move each message originating from these mailing lists into subfolders that I have created for each mailing list. I do the same thing. Very cool stuff. Okay, when I fire up my email client first thing in the morning, all my email is fetched and sorted into separate folders for me to examine at my leisure. I like that. Okay, the same concept can be applied to the autoresponder. For example, I am on vacation right now, good for you, dude, and have several rules in place that filter my mail and choose which messages get an auto response. In my case, all the mail coming from my work's domain gets held and auto response is sent to the originator. All messages from my department are held and marked as important, but no auto response is sent since they already know I'm gone. Messages sent directly to me, not part of a mass mailing from my work's domain that contains specific keywords, get flagged and forwarded to my supervisor. Well, this guy has really got his rules going here. And messages sent to me from other members of my department are marked urgent and are forwarded to my personal email at home. Wow. All other messages are deleted. Dude. And this way, I stay informed and I'm not greeted by a full to overflowing inbox when I return. Outlook allows you to define rules that apply only during the out-of-office state. I don't know if that's the same with other clients, but you can create a similar set of rules in Thunderbird using a template message as an autoresponse. Keep talking, and I'll keep listening, Joe. Joe, I appreciate that. That's good information. See, I'm not a real Outlook wonk because I don't really use Outlook that much. I use it at work, kind of, you know. I do sort things, you know, that come in from mailing lists and all that. I use kind of the superficial stuff. I haven't gotten down into it like you have and refine those rules to the point that it just does amazing things and jumps through hoops. That's pretty cool. I like that. All right, next one. Jason. Jason writes me, and he says, here's something I've done for a few years to keep spammers from getting my out-of-office message. Using the rules wizard, I created a rule that sends the out-of-office announcement to people in my contacts list. I have over 800 people who could potentially email me, and it would not be feasible to email each of them every time whenever I'm out. See, you got lots of friends. I don't really have that many, so I don't have to worry about that so much. I have to think about that. That's probably a bad thing, isn't it? Oh, well, anyway, he says, check it out and give it a try. P.S. Tonight is the first time I listened to your podcast, and I really enjoyed it. Wow, Jason, cool. I appreciate that. That's awesome. See, this is just a couple of the emails that I've been getting about the podcast and about particularly that particular message. That's really awesome. I like that. And we're out of time, but other good emails, but I've already gone 6 minutes and 7 seconds, 8 seconds, 9 seconds over, so I'm going to have to head on out. But I really trust that you enjoyed the podcast this week. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell everybody you know. Listen to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. It's over there at thecomputercurmudgeon.com. That's T-H-E-C-O-M-P. C-O-M-P-U-T-E-R-C-U-R-M-U-D-G-E-O-N, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. I got a little confused there on computer. Some people get confused about computers. I try not to get confused about computers, but sometimes when I spell them, the letters all get mishmashed together, and it's just a mess. And so, anyway, there's my music. I gotta go. Remember, until next week, that the doctor is out. I'm so out there. Way out there. Yeah.